course that God has other plan. And we've seen in this series how people by faith have obeyed God, have come into His purposes. People like Abel who learned to worship God by faith. Enoch who learned to walk with God by faith. Noah who worked by faith, did everything that God wanted him to do, to prepare all by faith, even when he didn't see it or you were seeing it coming. He just trusted God at His word. Then you have Abraham who obeyed by faith, and we spent 2 weeks on that. And also who sacrificed, fully surrendered his whole life, his whole worship, his whole relationships and everything that he had to God. And of course, last week we talked about Isaac, Jacob. We look at the incredible life that this people have had, especially of Jacob. God transformed his life, and he learned to rely on God rather than on his deceiving schemes that he had at the time. And we come to this morning message who introduces us to this 17 years old young man who probably has got some dreams of his own, but he's not aware, not an iota. And I want you to hold this very dearly in mind as I talk through this message this morning. This guy had no idea what God was going to do with him. At 17, he was tending the flocks of his father. 24 hours later, he finds himself sold out in a foreign land called Egypt. 24 hours later, his life changes. He was thrown into the pit. He had no idea in the midst of pit how God is going to work his purposes. Now, up to now, we talk about Abraham, we talk about Enoch, we talk about Jacob and all the others. People who had not so good characters. If you look at Joseph, Joseph is the guy, and if you remember when I did the sermon, I'm sure you were, 3 years ago, or could be even four, we spent about, 16 weeks on the life of Joseph here in church. I'm sure you remember that Joseph is the guy who is the perfect, righteous, super wonderful Christian who reads his Bible, spends prayer time on his knees day in, day out. He's got nothing wrong. And yet, God takes him from pit to praise, from a betrayal experience to a wonderful blessing that God has for this wonderful man. If you were to look at this and say and summarize, the life of little young Joseph is that life is not fair. As Christians, it's not fair that we should go through the things that this young man has experienced. He and God were like this. He had no problem. He shouldn't have gone through all this stuff. Yet, God brings out the best in Joseph through the experience that he will encounter and he will go through. And this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. He was chosen and then rejected. He was loved and hated. If you read the first chapter of Genesis 37, the first verses, it's about 8 times in those 11 verses that the word hated against Joseph is written down. He was favored and abused. He was betrayed and rescued. He was promoted and imprisoned. 17 years old young man who God has had a purpose for him that he was not aware of. Sometimes we think our kids should go to the best school in the country, in the land, in the city, because we want them to achieve the best for them. We got no idea God's plan for them is. We want them to go probably to and have the best job, to the best university. We got no idea what the Lord's will is, because they might not go to the best school, they might not go to the best university, they might not even do the course that God wants them to do. No, let me correct that. You and me might want them to do, but God might want them to do. And we worry about our kids, we worry about our grandchildren and so on, because we think, because they haven't followed what we want for them, they are not into God's will. But this is Joseph, a 17 years old man, young man, who the Bible tells us he was Jacob's beloved son. Remember, Jacob had 2 wives, 2 concubines. And not only that, but Joseph was born to Joseph, to Jacob at a very late stage in life. It was Joseph who was born to Rebekah. You remember Rebekah from last week? Is the wife that Jacob loved the most. And she was childless until Joseph was born, and then later on Benjamin, the little one. So when this little young boy was born, Joseph, he was the apple of his eye. He just couldn't believe it. What a blessing he was. He was so encouraged, so overjoyed that at the end of the day, Jacob decides to make a lovely, wonderful color code for our beautiful young lad called Joseph. And the name Joseph means or stands for add on, because Jacob thought, this is what God has added on to my life after the blessing, after the terrible time that I had, and the schemes that I tried to deceive people. And God, in the end, God still has blessed me, and he gave me a wonderful son called Joseph, added on to my life as another blessing. And imagine, this is the privilege in which this guy grew up with, as a favored son, as a favored son. And he's got a lovely color, colorful coat. And he is not expected, he is not planned for his life to go from pit to praise, from boredom to blessing, from betrayal to an incredible, powerful blessing of God. He is not used to that, because he is only 17 years old, and he is the one that he is loved by his father. He was tending the flock of his father, the sheep of his father, separate from his brothers, because he was so privileged that he wasn't together with his brothers and sisters. This is one part of his background. The second part of his background is that Joseph did not come out of a perfect family. And those two guys, and those of you who go through schools and minister alongside NISCO or in other ways, Liz and Anne, you've seen and you've experienced and you have met with children and young people who come from very terrible backgrounds. Let me tell you about Joseph's background. Not only had a very favoring father, but he had another 11 brothers and a sister. And as they were living in a foreign land, Jacob decides to take them all back to Canaan. He wanted to take them to the promised land back there. And as they go back, their sister, Dinah, is actually raped. And a lot of mockery is made of her. And not only that, but then one of the brothers sleeps with Bilhah, which is Jacob's third wife. Incest, adultery, or whatever grade that is. And this is the background in which Joseph grows up in, with a father who, no wonder he knew his history of what a cheat he was, what a terrible, incredible dealings he did all his life with himself, with others, and with God. Now Joseph comes in the midst of this, and you think, what chance does this guy stand for God to use him to be any better? Let me tell you something. The background from which you come from has nothing to do with God's purpose for your life. He will fulfill it no matter what and where you come from, as long as you step by faith in his obedience and his will, no matter what background you have. I'm what they call it, as some of you will know, the story of a bastard child born of a mother if she was only 15, not knowing that, and so on. God doesn't care about that. He has a purpose for each one of us. Every child is precious. Every young man, every young woman has a fully, almost not prescribed, but laid out purpose that God puts in front of us, if we only step into it and learn to step into it. And I think this is the ministry and the purpose for which those guys are going into school, to remind young people, to make them aware that they can walk freely into God's purposes. And let me tell you something, if we don't win them for Christ, if we don't broadcast the God's purpose for them at this age, we lost them. As you know, the statistic says that if they haven't really experienced God by the age of 13, 14, don't expect them to have a relationship with God, but let alone church and be part of it. And this is, I guess, the work, the incredible, courageous, and brave work that NISCO and any other organizations do, to go through schools to spread God's love. And this is Joseph, blessed, who comes from a background, one as a privilege and the other one as a child of, in a sense, of pain. And God brings more to him. What can we learn from his life? We learn a lot of things. How to deal with sexual temptation. How to experience healing from a painful past. How to see God's hand in all things. How to make wise plans and decisions. How to live for God in an ungodly world. But what I want to talk to you very briefly this morning, it's how Joseph, in faith, by faith, conquered the pain of betrayal and experienced God's blessing. Incredible journey that this young man has. And I believe the secret, and you know the story. The story that as he tends his father's flock, sheep there, he is sold by his brother because they hated him so much. Within 24 hours, he ends up in Egypt. In Egypt, later on, a couple of years later, he ends up in Pharaoh's house. There, he had a fantastic lifestyle, a lavish lifestyle. And the scripture tells us that, because I haven't got the time, that he was a very handsome guy, very attractive to look at. And Potiphar's wife, the king's wife, looked at him several times while he was in the palace, and she wanted him. She wanted to sleep with him. And there is something about Joseph that at one time he has this lovely multicolored coat, and now he has another coat that represents the king's trust as he is in his palace. And this woman, Potiphar's wife, just grabs him by the coat and says, come and sleep with me. And he just leaves his tunic, his coat, leaves it behind. As he left the other coat, the multicolored one, behind in the pit, when he was thrown in by his brothers at the age of 17. The second time he sheds that coat in order to step into God's purposes for him. And many a times we carry towards coats of privileges, coats of abuse, coats of ranking, middle class, high class, whatever, clothes that is written in the past with different, sometimes very painful experiences. And what happens is that when someone comes and tries to pat on our coat and try and describe it and say how lovely it is, we buy into that. We give in to that. Because this is something that we crave for, that we never had and we wanted. And Joseph is one of those examples that he says, no, I won't. I will leave this coat, I will even leave my past and move on in order to fulfill God's purpose. This is an incredible story. I wish I had the time to tell you more about it. But at the end of the day, and this is where I want to share with you this morning, is that Joseph is not the hero of Genesis story. By the way, Joseph is the only character in the scripture that has the most detailed picture story told, with the most space given in the scripture, more than Abraham, more than Jacob. Only Jesus has more in the New Testament. After Jesus is Joseph with the longer story, with a more detailed story of his life. And in not only that he grew up in a very dysfunctional family, but also Joseph is not the hero of the story. God is. He never gets the credit for it. And in spite of everything that he goes through, pit, prison, then to that incredible personage presence where he meets his brothers in that incredible room in a lavish palace, Joseph at all times, kept his eyes on God. By faith, he all the time focused on God and God alone. His brothers hated him. they sold him, they threw him away. Potiphar's wife couldn't have him. And in all of this, Joseph is not the hero of the story, but God is. God is. I want to Phil, if we have chapter 41, verses 50 to 52. Because this is very important, and I'm sure you probably, some of you will remember I shared this with you 40 years ago when we did the whole series. But at the end of all this is that after Joseph meets with his brothers, he learns to repeat and to imprison, to let go of his whatever purpose he might would have thought and dreams he might have had. Let them go and come into God's purpose. Then and only then, God gives him an incredible blessing. It is in through and through the prison that Joseph grows in intimacy with God. Debbie prayed this morning as we started the service that we will worship with integrity. If I were to say something about Joseph, like all the others who walk by faith, who whatever did by faith, built by faith or whatever, I would say about Joseph that he obeyed God with integrity by faith. A real man of integrity. And out of that, to pit and prison, to palace, which nothing has spoiled him, by the way, then boom, this comes as a real blessing. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh. I'm sure you remember I explained to you 4 years ago what Manasseh stands for. Manasseh is the word that stands for forget. Joseph did not forget his brothers and what they did to him. But he wanted to name his firstborn forget, because he wanted to forget the experience and the pain that he went through caused by his brothers. Because at the end of the day, Joseph's come to a stage in his life where he realizes that going to the pit and the prison, it was God's will. And once he realized that his dreams were not really what he expected, but he's actually God's dream for him, he named his firstborn Manasseh. I forget, not my brothers, but the pain that I went through. Not what they did to me, but the pain of betrayal. And you know, when we are asked to forgive, we think sometimes that all we need is to just shuffle it in the back of our mind and forget it and move on. It doesn't work like that. Faith, remember, is a journey, is a process. And forgiveness, it is always the fuel that propels us forward. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I struggle with that verse so much, even through this series, all my life. I've come to understand that the only way we are pleasing God by faith is when we move from pain to praise, from incredible betrayal to blessing, when we allow God to step in and move us forward into his purposes. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh. The second, it caused me fruitful in the land of, and the second was named Ephraim, and said, it is because God has made me fruitful. Listen to this. Ephraim means also blessing. It's exceedingly blessed, fruitful, so much so that the picture is there of a tree full of apples or of plums or whatever, that the branches are hanging down, ready to break. Look at the words in which those are written, and I don't believe they are they are by chance. It comes first Manasseh, which is forget, forgive. And then comes the blessing. Not the other way around. Not the other way around. That's how it works. As long as we begin to put in God's faith, our pain, or whatever sort of form comes in, and as I said, from betrayal to abuse or whatever it is in life that we carry with us, forgiving parents, forgiving relatives, forgiving spouses, then the blessing will follow as we step in faith to move on with Christ. Absolutely unbelievable story. Unbelievable story. Joseph learned that a broken heart, broken and contrite heart, is not the end, but is the beginning of a more even beautiful life in him. Bruised and crushed by the blows of disappointment and unrealized dreams, he discovered that God never left his side. If you read Genesis 37 to 52, you will realize that every single chapter, it says that God was with Joseph. But you know what else also realized in there? That God never actually speaks directly to Joseph. He never does. Joseph just did God's will because he knew what his will is. Shall I sleep with this woman? Oh Lord, what shall I do? He knew what his God's will is. God never spoke directly to Joseph through all those, 12, 13 chapters of Scripture. It's an incredible story. And we see God's incredible sovereignty, and which is revealed through the forgiveness that he pours out, bestows on his brothers as Joseph missed them after their betrayal. This is the great theme of the story of Jesus and indeed of God's plan of salvation for us. Joseph so much symbolizes Jesus and us as we betray him. The rest of the story could not unfold, and the Hebrew scripture would not have been written, that verse 22, unless Joseph would have had that incredible meeting with his brothers and say, it is me, I forgive you. The story would have ended different if he wouldn't have stepped in and say, I haven't forgotten, but I forgive you. I forgive you. What a story that is. What an incredible... I cannot read that story ever and ever again without shedding a tear, even as I'm preparing this week. Incredible story. Now, as we're done with the series, I said that we'll hear God's voice. We'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, but also we'll hear another voice that works by faith. And from time to time, we had people to come and share their testimony with us. So this morning is still the same. I've invited Peter to come and share with us. Thank you, Peter.
Hi. Million asked me to share with you my testimony, how I've coped and continued to trust God through my personal roller coaster of life. I came from a loving Christian family. I became a Christian at 15, a long time ago now. Baptised 18 months later. I married at the age of 26 in 1994. A non-Christian girl called Caroline. Happy marriage. We had a daughter named Sophie. She was born in 96. That marriage lasted 7 years. On the dot, she ended it on our wedding anniversary. My world fell apart. My faith in Christ, he took hold of me, took control, and made the best of a bad situation. I'm still friends with Caroline and their family. One of her other daughters is here, and we're still good friends. 2 years later after that, I met another non-Christian, an old school friend, 2004, who wasn't a Christian. Christian called Claire, fell in love, and later, about 4 months later, found out that she was having an affair. That threw me. After that, I kind of went off the rails a little bit, stepped into the world, a bit like a prodigal son. Took up taxiing to make ends meet, which took me away from church. It wasn't until 2008 I sat myself down and prayed, "Do what you want with me, Lord. I put my trust in you." A week later, the guy that I drove for, taxiing, told me he didn't need me anymore. So I gave that up. And around that time, it was when Amelia had started here. And I thought, oh, I'll come and see what he was like. And he was great. And really enjoyed it. Spiritually, I started to grow, joined a house group, met new friends, James and Lula. And it was great. Things were going really, really well. And somebody, a lady came into the church called Helen with a son, Tom. Clicked straight away. She ticked all my boxes. I loved her so much. Within a year, we were married. We had some tough moments. Helen became ill. But our faith stayed strong, and we had 6 fabulous years together. She was a very driven woman. Our work took control. We moved away from this church as she became unsettled. We moved into a brand new house. But 8 months later, she announced she was unhappy, which messed with my head. Then friction started to become between us. Within 2 months, she said she was leaving, and she moved away. I'm now on my own again with Sophie. My daughter, she's now lives with me. But still, I have a faithful God, and he still has a plan for me. He's in control, and I have faith in that. I'm a real big believer in things happen for a reason. I'm back here, looking up to God, rather than looking at my feet, limping, as you said last week. No matter how hard life gets, he's always there. He never lets go. My faithful God.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you very much. What a blessing. What a courage. And thank you for your honesty in sharing from the bottom of your heart with us. And I do believe too that God does have a purpose, no matter where we've been, where he takes us. I think the question I want to ask alongside you now is reflect on Joseph's story as we hear Peter's story. How do we move from a place of pain to a place of praise? How do we move from a place of rejection or betrayal to a place where we can actually say, "You are my God. Even though he slays me, I will still praise him"? How do we do that kind of move into God? When you suffer so much pain through our lives, relationships, and whatever it is, how can we move on? We've seen some of those answers into Joseph's story. And he still remains the key today. Through God's grace, as we understand his love and forgiveness, how much he's forgiven us, that we begin to unpack that into our lives and relationship towards others. Forgive, forgiveness. And I know, and I'm not saying this again, and I said it many times, that I'm not saying flippantly, because it's like faith, forgiveness is a journey. I wish it was just like that. Oh, I forgave. My 40 years of abuse, 23 years of unhappy marriage, or whatever it is. It doesn't quite work like that. It's something that we work on it, faith by faith, minute by minute, as we encounter God in our lives. God always has something bigger in mind than the immediate. God sees the big pictures. It's interesting that there is no record again of God speaking directly to Joseph, even in the midst of his pain. But he knew that God is going to take him out and is going to bless him again. By faith, I will say this to close. Joseph kept his eyes on God in the midst of very difficult circumstances. By faith, Joseph forgave his brothers. It is God's strength and power. But the healing that comes from that, it is unbelievable. By faith, Joseph chose to forget the pain of his... He chose Manasseh to forget the pain of betrayal. Not the people, not the person, but the pain. By faith, Joseph told the story. Look, and this is how I finish. If you look at... Can we have that verse up, Hebrews 11:22? Thank you, Phil. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. Now, exodus hasn't happened yet. How could he speak about that? Because this is the first time, this is how the Israelites end up in Egypt. The whole family moved there because Joseph was there and it was God's plan for them to be in Egypt. And later on, 200 years later, they find themselves into slavery, and then Moses comes, as we're going to hear next week, and takes them out of there. He prophesies and he says, listen, I want you to take my bones, because one day, not my flesh, because we're going to be longer than, because when we go and die, you know what happens, in 33 years, what the crematorium does in 30 minutes by burning our flesh, the ground does it in about 30 years, and then just the bones remain. And he says, I want you to take my bones, meaning it's going to be some time, because the bones, they never actually crumble. It takes 300 years or something for the bones to crumble. Not very nice illustration this moment, but that's what it is. He says, be ready, because God is going to take us back. And don't forget my bones, because I'm going to go with you. And that's the ultimate blessing. He hasn't seen it. He wasn't even sure about it. But he said, I know. So get my bones, because God is going to fulfill his purposes. The reason you are here is because God wanted you to be here. And I am glad, Joseph says, to be part of that story. You're forgiven. Because God is fulfilling his purposes. Imagine if Joseph would have forgiven his brothers. The story would have been different of God's people even today. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for what we heard this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us, challenging us. And thank you for transforming our lives and bringing them into alignment to your will. Thank you for your presence here this morning. May you continue to walk with us, work in us, and speak through us. Father, I pray this morning that as we sit in your presence, you will work through your Holy Spirit a new transforming miracle in our lives. Those of us who suffer and are within the pain of bereavement, of rejection, of betrayal, would you come, Holy Spirit, and bring healing to our lives? As we walk with you, we will choose, like Joseph, to keep our eyes on you and live a life of integrity. Because you are a God who fulfills his purposes through and in us. No matter what background, no matter what age. Lord, give us the strength that Joseph had. That integrity to walk in faith by you, in integrity, to keep our eyes on you. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.